The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Project Independence and You. My name is Otto Loos. I'm playing host today for John Ryan, who has some things he has to take care of, and I look forward to it. We are here with Graciela Hall, who's a volunteer and a co-host from Roslyn. Good morning.
Good morning, Otto. How are you?
I'm good. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Likewise.
You are involved with advisory committee?
Yes, but I haven't been going very often, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, that's a good thing to do on this show.
Yes.
Well, for those who don't know, advisory committee, basically Project Independence has six advisory committees, which are very informal gatherings once a month at various locations within the town of North Hempstead for the local people, local community people, to talk about what it is they think the community needs from a senior perspective. And the meeting is staffed and run by people who are work basically for Project Independence and You. And that's basically what we're going to talk about later. But right now, we have a special guest, Helen Keat, who is a licensed real estate broker and a senior advisor, which I'd like to get into a little bit, with Keller Williams Realty Landmark. And the purpose of Helen's being here is basically to talk about downsizing and how it impacts your life. And the way I like to put it is, besides who you're going to marry, one of the biggest things you think about in your life that's very complicated is where are you going to go in your life? Where are you going to live? Do you have to downsize when you get to that level in life? Is your house too big? Do you have too much stuff in your house? You know, all those kinds of thoughts. So welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here. Maybe you could just explain a little bit about your background and what does a senior advisor actually do?
Thank you very much for having me. I've been a broker for years, decades actually. And I was a relocation specialist, certified relocation professional. So I moved a lot of corporate personnel, and then I started getting questions from our agents. They needed help with situations regarding their aging parents. So I became a certified senior advisor, which is a little bit more. We have a senior real estate specialist designation in the real estate industry. But as a certified senior advisor, I've got much more education, and it's run with a whole ethics review board, so it brings us a lot of good information regarding health, financial, social issues facing our aging, you know, public today. And it helps professionals, whether they're social workers, attorneys, in our case realtors, financial professionals, really get a leg up and understand the sensitive issues facing the older population today. So that's where I came into this, for providing a whole other level of service and, you know, helping our agents solve these problems with the aging public.
Well, it is complicated. You know, I believe it starts in your own house, basically.
Yes.
You when you use the word downsize, most of the houses on Long Island, which is where we are really not built for aging in place. Very few of them have bedrooms on the first floor, bathrooms on the first floor. That's just how houses weren't built back when. And you know, we looked at a lot of material that you sent us in advance of the show, and one of the things you talk about is planning. Mm. Maybe we ought to talk a little bit about that, because I'm a believer in planning. However, you can't plan for everything.
That is so true, and I'm at that point myself. But I think we'd say whether you're 58 or 85, we never really plan enough, and certainly we can't have that crystal ball. But I talk about, this is not a concept I created, but I read it somewhere. It's called the 70-40 conversation. So when the parents are in their 70s, the children are in their 40s, it's a good time to start before you're in a crisis situation. Where it's a necessity to start thinking about the different questions, not only planning your housing, your finance, your health care, your caregiving situations, and of course, end of life. So there are a lot of questions to really deal with, but when you start in advance, you start exploring what are the possible options. You might want to look at it in 5 and 10 year increments. So whatever you start talking about at that point has to be relooked at in the future, but you'll get general ideas of which direction, and then you start exploring what the different options are.
Unfortunately, a lot of us really don't like to address those kinds of questions.
Yes, no, but right? You're absolutely right.
Those are not particularly fun sessions. I had a thing with my own family, which they know from here, I call it a powwow.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back in preparing for this show, and I realize, yeah, we had a powwow, and we talked about some things, but I don't think we really covered steps, whatever come later, you know?
It's hard to project.
It is hard to project, but you do have feelings maybe on what you'd like to communicate to people in terms of what it is you might want to do.
And I think that's what the importance of this earlier conversation is, so that parents can really get out what's important to them, to their children, before it's a crisis and they're not capable of doing that. And then you'll see, I deal with families at all different points, and a lot of times the choices are not then of the parents. So it might not be the best situation. And it's under a crisis, so it's not so well thought out. And financial people would probably tell you that then you're more subject to fraud, loss of assets, just the wrong situation.
Do you see downsizing as an economic issue or a practical issue?
Very good point, Graciela. What I would say, there are a couple of things to look at. Most people would rather remain in their home, absolutely. And certainly I understand that. And they don't always need me to sell their house. So I really help families look at the different options. Most often the house has hazards in it at some point. So you can correct for simple things. In fact, I think they've proven 30 to 50% of falls are just because the wrong floor surface is used. There's not enough lighting. These are pretty easy things to correct. So by doing certain things, you'll make the home safer. What will happen is then you have to look at not only the hazards, how can you correct the home? Do you need, like you said, auto main floor bedroom and bath? Or now they have very good ramp and lift setups to get up to the second floor. But you want to look at things like maintenance issues. There could be costs for a new heater, costs for a new roof. You know, this is in that conversation when you're talking about where you would want to be, and if you want to stay in your home, let's look at the financial aspects so you can plan and have the resources when these unexpected things happen. Let's face it, heaters, roofs, big expenses. So there, you want to have certain resources available. But the other thing to look at with the home, financially, you want to look at the reasons you first bought the home were for the schools, the family was bigger. Are you now paying for something that's not as necessary? So that's where you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons of remaining in the home. Can you carry the cost of it? Does it make sense for you lifestyle-wise? Now, that's the other thing. I think what they've just found out, and they start calling it loneliness, is the new smoking. It's as dangerous to health. And a lot of times the home becomes self-isolating, where you used to be able to, at some point when a parent can't drive, can't get around as freely, the home is more removed, it's not necessarily walkable communities. That's where I think you have to say and take a look at that aspect to have healthy aging. We as children, we're love our parents, but you know how that goes. You run into the house, hi, Mom, here's your food, here's this, I got to go, I'll see you later. So there's not as much interaction, and I see many seniors that are very lonely in their home.
Well, you said loneliness is the new smoking. Mm-hmm. We actually have another one here we use, which is sitting is the new smoking.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sitting and loneliness mm-hmm. kind of tie together yeah. if you think about it. You know, if you
Absolutely.
Sit too much and you're basically not socializing or communicating with people, it's not a healthy thing.
It's mobility issues set in.
The less people go out, the less they want to go out.
Yes, it becomes a self-reinforcing.
You get into yeah. a rut.
Yes.
One of the things that strikes me is we keep talking here. I happen to be fortunate in that I have three daughters that live within range of
That's
where
wonderful.
I am,
mm-hmm.
And grandchildren and the whole bit that goes along with it. But I know a lot of people that don't have that.
Yes.
I'm blessed.
You know,
a lot of people, some of them have no family.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do have family, maybe they live in Seattle, Washington
exactly.
or Oregon or wherever, and they don't even get the hi, Mom. You know, that's almost like a luxury compared to what some people get.
And that's right. And with the boomers coming through, too, there's going to be more and more of what they call it solo agers. So they may not have children. They may not have direct family. And, you know, it's another aspect to consider on how to engage everybody and what community-based services. That's the other thing. If you can bring in community-based interactions and different projects like your Project Independence, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, one of the things with Project Independence is I think it's great for people in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a thing called Circle of Support.
Nice.
And Circle of Support is a program where you are, there's a whole document that goes along with it, but basically it makes you think and plan a little bit if
mm-hmm.
you're in the solo situation. Well, what's going to happen if this happens or that happens?
Yes.
Or who are the contacts in my life that are important? And Project Independence social workers and nurses
mm-hmm.
will help people do that. So it's kind of like fits into this downsizing picture a little bit.
And that's important. Now, I think people want to think in terms of who's my team. You want to have a plan. Certainly you want your attorney or elder law attorneys if you're creating legacies, but you want to have your wills, your power of attorneys, your health care proxies. I mean, all of these in place. And then talk about, you know, with your financial planner, your accountant. In the case of caregiving situations, you may have a geriatric care consultant to come in with the family and discuss things. And then I'll add in there your realtor if you need to hear about different housing situations and what's
and
the
options.
Options, absolutely. It takes exploring those options so that you can make informed decisions.
Do you, what percentage of your clients are elderly?
A lot. I would say probably 50-60%. And certainly, yes. For instance, most of our homeowners are approaching those ages.
Mm.
We're watching a whole range of situations, you know, the health, the need to move nearer family. And then, of course, I see families in the estate situation, you know, and at the end of life.
Well, you again gave us a lot of material in advance, which was a good thing. And you kind of talk about the challenges that we face, and maybe just going right down the line, like health and mobility.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an issue there, that may lead you to downsize, whether you like the idea or not.
It's a very interesting thing, and that can come at, you can see I'm not advanced, but I've had two hip replacements at 55 and 60. I'm getting a little information here. But all of a sudden, I became very tuned in. Oh, my. Do I have a bathroom on the first floor?
Right.
Is the bathroom wide enough, you know, for a walker? Now, I'm certainly fine. But this is what families have to think about. How do we adapt the home?
I think we're leading into a break time here. I'm getting a couple of waves.
Okay.
And we'll go back to that.
Very good. Thank you.